This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
I hit it hard, man.
And good morning. Welcome in, Charlie Epps Golf Hour. And this is going to be fun today, Charlie. It's not often we get Tiger tee it off as we're in the middle of our show, first of all, let alone we get for the very first time ever Tiger Rory in match play.
I thought this was Masters Week all of a sudden. Yeah. I wake up this morning and look at what we have.
I love it.
The match play championship, is kind of complicated, but it's producing one great match, and everybody's talking about it, and we'll see what happens.
We will focus a lot on that. We're less than a half hour away from Rory and Tiger getting underway, and what a Friday it was for Tiger. We'll go through that just to be able to have a chance to make it out of the group stage, and he is in the round of 16 here for the first time since 2008. So we'll go through all of that, some of the other matchups, and some of the big names that did not make it here in the final rounds or so, Charlie. And then we've got a nice guest coming up at 25 after, Colby Calloway, the tournament director for the Astros Golf Foundation.
That's right. The Houston Open, it should be next week, but it's coming in October. Next week, we have a women's golf tournament at Augusta. So the calendar is full of different items, different ways to enjoy golf. It's spring again in golf.
And the weather has been fantastic for us here in the Houston area. I know you were also up in Austin checking things out up there for the match play as well. So we'll get your thoughts on what that atmosphere was like. Plus, a first-time event going to take place at Augusta, which we know kind of the strict policies out there, and the first time we'll have a major ladies event at Augusta next week. So I'm going to be curious to get Bill's thoughts and your thoughts on that. And then we'll take a look ahead as well to the Valero Texas Open, which is next week in San Antonio. So a couple of the Texas events going on here. And so it should be fun. This will be one of our more jam-packed shows here on SB Nation Radio. As you said, usually we don't have these kind of events going on until we talk about the Masters. But here we are in the last week of March, and we've got some fun match play to discuss.
That's exactly right.
All right, so we'll bring in Bill Harmon in just a bit. Just getting started here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Got a chance. Oh, my goodness.
Tiger's third at the par 5 10th.
Well, that was Tiger back in 2008, the last time he made it to the round of 16 there, 2008 WGC match play. What a day we have in store, as we mentioned, out in Austin with Tiger and Rory for the first time ever in match play. And we welcome in Bill Harmon, of course, Charlie Epps with me as well. Guys, it's going to be a lot of fun here in about 15 minutes or so.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, I'll say good morning, guys. This is the marquee matchup. I'm sure if they could have figured out a way to maybe have it in the round of four or the finals, they would have loved it. But as of now, at the start of the week, when we saw the brackets and everything like this, everybody was hoping to see Rory and Tiger square off, and we've got it. And it should be a very, very interesting day. I think all the pressure is on Rory because he's playing so good. Rory kind of backed out of it against Tiger there in the Tour Championship last fall in Atlanta. He has no excuses right now. He's coming in on great form, firing on all cylinders. So I'll be very, very intrigued to see how Rory handles this today. I kind of sense that he's going to do okay.
Yes, I was up there, Bill, on Wednesday, and the atmosphere is kind of electric. And not only the gallery, but also the players. I think the players, you know, they're sort of, you know, wondering what's going to happen. You know, any match play is such a different animal. But the swings really look sharp now. I mean, it's almost April. Everybody's had enough time and enough tournaments under their belt. I think it's going to be a great Saturday for match play. Who's going to come out winning? I'm not quite sure. But one thing about it, Tiger keeps on giving us excitement. I mean, whether it's hitting shots from underneath trees, fighting back, you think he's gone because he got a stiff neck. And, Bill, I mean, this could be a sign of what's going to happen at the Masters.
Well, you know, he keeps adding to his highlight reel, Charlie. You know, over the years we've seen lots of highlight reels from, let's say, Seve. But he's added a couple this week. You know, that shot from underneath the tree and making par, the beautiful wedge shot that he hole out yesterday. You know, he's a magical guy, and with all of his talent, I think we sometimes don't realize how creative he is. And I think, and Charlie, you would understand this working with elite players, I think Tiger is constantly visualizing success. I think he's constantly thinking the impossible is possible. I think he is light years ahead of almost everybody that's ever played the game, other than maybe a handful, of how he controls his thought process. But everything he's ever done really is to be successful. So when he's in those funny situations, I think he's figuring out what's possible, not what's impossible. So his highlight reel continues. Today should be a really, really interesting match. There's a lot of other interesting matches out there today, but none of them have the mojo of Rory against Tiger. That's what we've all wanted to see.
Yeah, all eyes will be on that, and we'll go through some of the other matchups in just a little bit. But go back to Friday, Charlie, you know, with Tiger a little bit, and needing to win in order to have a chance just to make it out of the group stage. And, you know, he's one down at 10, and then he gets to one up at 12, two up at 13, three up at 14, and, of course, it ends up winning 4-2 at 16 there. Just to be able to do that and what he put on display on Friday, just how special was that for you to watch?
Well, I think at 43, and this is his mulligan, you know, he hadn't, you know, won, you know, since 2008 in match play. He's so happy to be back, and he enjoys competition so much, and he enjoys the challenge that when he gets those situations, he says, bring it on, let's go, let's get it done. And he keeps on showing us stuff that you just didn't think would ever happen. So Tiger is a rare, rare individual, and we might as well really enjoy him while he lasts, Bill. And he seems to thrive on pressure.
Yeah, he always has, you know. In the remaining 16, I believe 12 of them are foreign players. So it's a World Golf Championship. There's very few Americans left. We've got Tiger. We got Matt Kuchar still swinging at it. Kevin Kisner, and I guess Kevin Na is an American. But other than that, they're all players from Europe or South Africa or China. The World Tour, World Golf Championship handle certainly is true this week. We got a kaleidoscope of players from all over the world. A few of them that some of our fans might not know much about. This Terrell Hatton, to me, Charlie, is a kind of a trump card there. He could be tough to beat. He's a fiery guy, real fiery guy, and I look at the matchups. Got Molinari going against Casey, who's very hot. I don't know. It looks to me it's going to be great, but none of the matches really are going to have the mojo of Rory and Tiger, and they should be teeing off here pretty soon.
Well, I'm going to pick my guy now before you pick him. I like Mark Leishman.
I actually liked him myself, so good pick there.
You know, he's long, he's straight, he doesn't... He doesn't seem to get flappable. I watched him a lot in the President's Cup. He played with Ankel a couple times, and he's a kid that's just been maturing, kind of like Molinari. I watched him on Wednesday, and you can really see, you know, what success has brought him. He's got an inner confidence now. I think before at times he didn't think he belongs, and now he knows he belongs because of his success. So, and then the new Texan, Sergio Garcia, he married a family from the University of Texas, football family, and now they have a home up there. He could have his first victory as a Longhorn.
Yeah, the last pairing to tee off this. He's going to be at 9:52 Eastern time there, Garcia against Brandon Grace. And to bring up Leishman for a second, right now, just an update, they're all square through four. Lee's two up on Kistner through two, and then Molinari's one up through one. So those are just some of the live. We'll keep you updated throughout the show. And then the one everybody's got their eyes on in about 10 minutes will be Rory and Tiger. Again, we've got a guest coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. We'll welcome in Colby Calloway, the tournament director for the Astros Golf Foundation, and talk a little Houston Open, which is moved to October, and they're going through renovations out at Memorial Park to get that ready to go in 2020. So we'll get into that in just a second. Before we take a break, though, lastly, you know, Bill, you brought up and wanted to discuss just it's great that we got Rory and Tiger here. This is phenomenal. But that it happens so soon, we have two golfers that are here maybe moving the needle, but the fact that, well, one of them's going to be eliminated.
Yeah, well, that's the difficulty of match play relative to television. I think the true golf fan enjoys match play. You know, I look at some of the matchups today, and I'm, as a golf fan, intrigued by matchups other than Rory and Tiger. But that's always been the knock for match play events on the professional level, because the best players get knocked out. You know, Dustin Johnson's not there. Jordan Spieth isn't there. Justin Thomas isn't there. Bryson DeChambeau isn't there. Shoffley, one of the top 10 players. And so you're left with the two biggest names, by far the two biggest names, are now going to play each other, and one of them will be eliminated. And hopefully, you know, that person will be able to carry the mantle of the needle movers into the finals anyway. But that is just match play, and that's why I think some people don't like it on the professional level. I like it. It's why they've probably changed the format through the group play, so these guys are going to be there for 3 days. But even yesterday watching, you know, Jordan Spieth and Bubba Watson, you know, Watson basically knocking Jordan Spieth out of the Sweet 16. So I always like the – and there's every now and then Charlie and I are a little bit in the know. We know who likes each other and who doesn't like each other. So every now and then it's fun to see those two guys go too, isn't it, Charlie?
That's exactly right. See them go head-to-head, and, you know, as they put the tee in the ground on the first tee, what they're thinking. And then this is one match I don't want to lose, you know. So and I think today Tiger and Rory are right there. I mean, they're pretty compatible, but Tiger doesn't want to lose this match.
No way does he want to. He doesn't want to lose any match, yeah. But I think there's more pressure on Rory, you know. I mean, these guys need to step up. We've been hearing it for years and not intimidated by Tiger, this and that. Well, here's your chance, you know. You're going to have them head-to-head on a big stage with really the whole golf world watching. It's a Saturday, and you're playing great. You know, Rory is really playing good. So I think everything points towards Rory, but the pressure of beating Tiger when you're the man at the moment should be interesting to watch. I'm really intrigued to see how – I'm more intrigued to see how Rory handles this than I am Tiger, to be honest with you.
We'll continue talking match play. Again, it's going on right now, and Tiger and Rory will tee off in about 7 minutes or so. We'll also look ahead to a first-of-its-kind event at Augusta. But coming up next, Colby Calloway, the tournament director for the Astros Golf Foundation, stops by the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Back inside things here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Having trouble connecting with our guest, Colby Calloway, tournament director for the Astros Golf Foundation. That's all right. We got plenty to talk about. We'll see if we can't maybe get him on still before we get off the air today. If not, we'll push that to another week. Bill Harmon, Charlie Epps, we're about less than five minutes away from Tiger and Rory teeing off there in Austin for the match play. Everybody is focused on that, and we'll get back to that in just a second. But I wanted to switch gears a little bit and at Augusta, a first-of-its-kind event going to take place next week, Charlie.
Yes, it's a unique event that Augusta National, the controlling body of the Masters, is really kind of broadened its scope, if you will, the drive, putt, and chip contest for the kids all over the country has been so successful. And now they're opening up the golf course for a ladies tournament, which has never been done. And it's a three-round tournament. Two rounds are played over at another golf course, and then the finals are played at Augusta National. So it's going to be fun, and it would be interesting to see how the ladies handle the golf course. And, Bill, do you see anything particular that they're going to do, or how long should they play this golf course for the ladies?
Well, I'm sure they'll figure that out. I think it's great. You know, you mentioned how the little event they have for the youngsters has taken off and has been a huge success. I suspect that this is going to be a success. I know somebody who is deeply involved in this event. He'll remain nameless. But one of their first problems was because the last round is being played at Augusta National, and I think they're going to cut to about a third of the field. So they were worried about some of the girls will never even get a practice round. So after two rounds of the tournament, everyone's going to get to play a practice round at Augusta National, even the ladies that have been eliminated. So they wanted to make sure that all the competitors, all the participants played a round at Augusta National. I, for one, think it's fantastic. They took a little bit of heat because it's the same weekend as it's called the ANA Championship now. I keep thinking of it as the Dinosaur, the Kraft Nabisco out here in the desert, who traditionally invite some of the best amateurs to play in the tournament. So, as usual, no matter what Augusta does, they're going to take a little bit of heat. But I don't think Augusta National schedule has to coincide with the LPGA schedule. And I think it's great. I'm looking forward to watching the ladies play. I would be surprised if they played it more than 61 or 200 yards long, Charlie. I would think that's just a guess. But it'll just be great for the game. It'll be great for the players. They're going to experience all the things that the guys get to experience, the history of the game, all the great things they've seen happen in Amen Corner, all the catastrophes. Charlie, you've been there many times. It's a magical, magical place. And I think it's fantastic. It'll be great for women's golf. It'll be great for the Augusta National and be great for the game. So I applaud them. I think it's fantastic.
You know, and I think it's great that they picked amateur golf to have a competition there, Bill. And
me too.
And with the ladies, I think, you know, this young lady, Lucy Lee, has a little controversy going on in her life because she supposedly, you know, she did an ad for money, and that's a conflict for amateur.
Well, the days of the true amateur is over.
Yeah. And then she
would. They want to poke around. They can find. I bet they could find something on just about every amateur in the world getting.
So there's just a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, kind of.
Yeah, but
it's kind of like college hoops, right? Is that what we're getting at?
Yeah. But you know, she's going to be a star here in a few years. I don't know if she's going to go to college, if she's going to turn professional. But she withdrew this week. But you know, I don't think that's definitely not going to hurt this event. And I'm watching television in studio, and Tiger's getting ready to hit his driver, Bill, off of the first hole. There's, you know, it's already lined by.
Yeah, we're underway.
Swing looked pretty good. He reaches down to get his tee, and the ball's bouncing down and this golf course is unique. I mean, look at that. That's running out about 80 yards, and that's what I need for my game. I need something where my ball's going to run another 80 yards, Bill.
Yeah, I could help. I could use that myself, Charlie.
I knew it was a big day today, Bill, by the way, because Charlie's normally in a certain spot in the studio, and you're throwing me off today because you're sitting in a different chair, and I'm used to being able to diagonally just look straight at you, and now I'm having to turn my body all the way around today because you wanted a better view of the TV. I got it.
No, a couple weeks ago, you dropped us into Greece, and I sat over here so I could look at our good producer, and they walked me through being the star, the captain of the ship.
You were, so, that's right.
So that's all right.
Well, you're always the star of the show. You just were running things.
I was, having kind of like chewing gum and patting your head at the same time, It's not as easy as you make it look.
All right, real quick, guys, an update while we're at it with the World Golf Championships, the leaderboard here. Leishman, one up through five. Lee is three up through three on Kisner. Molinari, they're all square through two there with Casey. And then Justin Rose and Kevin Na are all square through one. And as you just said, Tiger and Rory just teed off. So that's just a little update on what we see. What about the other matchups? You mentioned that all eyes are on Tiger and Rory, Bill, but is it the Leishman matchup there? What's the one or two maybe that you think could be the best other than Tiger and Rory?
Well, I think Sergio, I think what Charlie said about Sergio now living in Austin, oddly enough, he might have a hometown advantage there. And Brandon Grace is an interesting player to me, Charlie. He doesn't do as well as I think he's going to do. But he's a player when he's on. He seems to be able to get the job done. I think Molinari Casey's a very good match. And my wild card is this Tyrrell Hatton guy because he's kind of a time bomb, wears his emotions on his sleeve, which I kind of like, by the way. And so, but, let's face it, none of them are going to match Tiger and Rory's match. We're reaching for something here if we think anything's going to come close to the interest in that match.
I mean, I think one of the most consistent guy over the last 4 or 5 years has been Matt Kuchar, and he has a game that really fits this golf course. He doesn't hit it as far as these guys, so he's going in with his iron game, and his iron game is as good as anybody's. And then his putting with attaching that shaft to his arm has proven to be very, very good. So if he can get back by Tyrrell, Kuchar's got as good a chance as any to come out on Sunday.
Well, they all got a chance because, as you know, they're all great players. So I don't really look. I think this Lucas Beauregard might be the most unknown of all the players. He's playing Stenson. He's already won the first hole. I think he's the real wild card in this whole thing, but they're all terrific players. They wouldn't be there if they weren't. So at this stage of the game, I don't really think there are a lot of upsets if you really follow the game closely.
Right, and I do want to correct one thing. I misspoke there. So Kisner's three up through four. I'm sorry, not Lee. Kisner's three up through four. That would be quite the if it was the other way around, it'd be quite the story there potentially. But no, Kisner's up three through four. Charlie, what else is kind of stuff? You mentioned you're curious about the atmosphere even next week. I know we just got away from that. I wanted to get one more thought on the ladies amateur. You were wondering right. Just what the event, if tickets and everything would be like for that.
Yeah, we don't know how many people the Augusta National is going to let in as spectators because, once again, they're getting the golf course ready for the Masters, which is in a couple of weeks, so they're going to be protective of that. We might see 3,000 people out there. I guess anybody that's a family member can attend, and then they have some dignitaries, but they got to protect the grasses at Augusta National, Bill, and you know how pristine that is. So that's one question, but I'm sure that Augusta's got it worked out.
I got a funny feeling they got it figured out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got still plenty to come here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We'll continue to keep our eyes on the World Golf Championship match play there. Tiger and Rory on the first hole. Plus, how about next week in the Valero Texas Open? We'll get our thoughts on that. And some of the names that are not participating still here in the round of 16.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Fun Saturday morning show here on SB Nation Radio. And the Charlie Epps Golf Hour is made possible by Insperity.
A company that was established in 1986 and now has 3,000 wonderful employees spreading the word of what Insperity does and supporting small business. If you have a small business that you want some help with either with payroll or government regulations or even how to, you know, have a future look and grow your business, Insperity, they will come in and they will give you the support that you need. I'm so proud that they're our sponsor, Alex, because their quality of people, all of their employees, I've been and met most of them, are just wonderful. So that working environment, that's what work is all about. They allow their employees to volunteer, so on and so forth. But more importantly, they spread their word with the Insperity Invitational. It's this Champions Tour event. First week in May, everything, you know, is there. The greatest, you know, players of old time, and it's free to the public. So, anyways, log on to Insperity.com, find out what it's all about, give them a call, and make sure you tell them that Charlie and Alex and Billy sent you by.
WGC Match Play, and we got our final two pairings, I should say, getting ready to tee off, Kuchar and Haddon, and we'll have Grace and Garcia in about 10 minutes or so. So we'll keep our eyes on this and obviously update you on Rory and Tiger as they are, I believe they both hit on the green here, Tiger.
Yeah, they both have 20-foot birdie putts, standard easy hole at Austin Golf Club. It's a Pete Dye golf course, Bill, and when it was first designed, it was really hard, but they've altered it just like any other golf course, and now they reverse the nines. The first hole is really number 10, and here's Tiger putting for his first birdie of the day, and he runs it by about 2 feet, probably get conceded. So then now it's going to be Rory. And Rory, if he putts well, he's going to be hard to beat. And his ball is going right at the hole, and it just goes off the left edge. You think CBS is going to hire me, Bill? Am I giving a good commentary here?
I don't think so.
Bill could do better. Absolutely, right? That's what we're getting at here.
God. No, I'm sure they should hire you, Charlie.
All right, now with this though, all right, DJ, Thomas, Spieth, Bryson eliminated, not here in the round of 16. Just speaks to maybe how difficult it is to stay there at the top, Bill.
Well, you know, we see these really, really great players. They go on a little mini run and they make the difficult look easy. You know, and it was a couple of weeks ago we had DJ who's unbeatable. And then he tees off in the last round in the last group with Paul Casey at Innisbrook and doesn't make a birdie. And then he gets eliminated here. Koepka eliminated. You know, he looks like a world beater when he's on. Justin Thomas got off to a fast start this year. He's eliminated. Bryson DeChambeau has had some wonderful stretches. He gets eliminated. I think what it really does for me, and Jordan Spieth, although he looked like he played better this week, he did get eliminated. I think what this does to me, it really illuminates how great Jack and Tiger still is. But what they did for, you know, decades, their standard of excellence and how they maintained that was really incredible, because the players that I just mentioned are phenomenal golfers. But it's just hard to play good all the time and putt good all the time. And, you know, at the moment, it looks like it's Rory's turn now. But we keep forgetting that Justin Rose is the man. So I just think as we watch these brilliant players when they're on, we just assume they're going to play that way every week, but they don't. And so then another guy pops in. But you know, I've been saying all year, I think 2019 is a phenomenal year for the game because most of the young players are and the young stars that we're looking towards are winning tournaments, just about every one of them other than Jordan. So I think the build-up to the Masters, I think with Rory winning the Players, and we don't know what's going to happen this week, but the build-up to Augusta, I think, is the best build-up I've seen in many, many years.
Yeah, it's going to be a great spring, Bill. You're exactly right. The ebb and flow of the golfer is and professional golfer, you know, they're doing well if they can win 10% of the time. You know, that it's you have winning is so hard. And what this also demonstrates, the match play, the top 64 players in the world, how good the bottom of the brackets are. There's so many good players that are 63, 62nd, you know, in the world that it's a fine line on who can beat who on any given day. We'll happen to see Tiger just missed a fairway on his second hole, so I'll be running a running commentary. I like.
Did we get your final pick?
Yes.
Did we get your final pick on who you had winning between these two?
I like Rory.
You like Rory, okay.
Yeah, I like Rory too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rory was the favorite. I looked it up this morning just on the Vegas odds, and yeah, Rory was definitely the slight favorite to win over Tiger today.
I hate to bet against Tiger, but 43 versus 30, you know, I mean, chances are. But, Bill, the golf course is another Pete Dye golf course that – it ebbs and flows on the side of a hill in Austin, and a lot of the holes are above, but then they work themselves down to the lake area, and they have some holes along the lake that are really challenging that allows them to drive par fours, and it's a very entertaining golf course. Are you a fan of Pete Dye golf courses, Bill?
Yes and no, I would say. I like some of them, don't like all of them, but, you know, I've often wondered, was Pete Dye good for the game? Because when people started copying him, as you know, Charlie, they started making courses harder and harder and harder and harder, which is okay for championship golf, but it isn't as good for amateur golf. And so I've never been to this course. It looks very awkward to me on TV, I have to say it. Looks like a lot of the holes are awkward looking, but you've been there, so
yeah.
You've actually walked the fairways and seen them. I don't know what on TV. I can't tell what kind of golf course.
Well,
I have no idea if it's a good course or a bad course. It looks very strange.
It's set on a. It's called the Hills of Lakeway
right
out
now.
In Austin.
That is weird.
There's a lot of ravines on the property, so they you know, and it was a housing development. So usually a housing development, they're going to take the prime real estate for the homes and for the best vistas, so on and so forth. Then mm-hmm. they're left with a couple hundred acres to try to carve out this golf course with bulldozers. And I think Pete did a wonderful job with the land that they had, and it's quite challenging, and the members love it. And, you know, it's the home of Harvey Penick, the great teacher who taught, you know, Crenshaw and Tom Kite, and his son of 80 years old, Tinsley Penick, passed away this past week. But their legacy is just incredible around Austin. Mr. Penick was one of the famous teachers and golf coach at University of Texas, and his son's, you know, followed him at the Austin Golf Club. So we're going to miss Tinsley, you know, the game goes on.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. A quick look ahead to next week, and we were talking about this course, but what about the Valero Texas Open? We were going through the field a little bit, Charlie, off air, and it looks like Ricky Fowler is committed, one of the probably the biggest name, I think, for the field next week.
I would say right now the rap on the golf course in San Antonio, most of the players don't really care for it for different reasons. So the good players used to come to Houston Open because the conditions of the golf course that the Houston Golf Association set up were really close to, you know, similar to Augusta, Bill, and Phil would come. But now this Valero is going to give somebody else who wins it a chance to play at Augusta. I like the golf course. I just don't like to play it.
Yeah, I've never seen it. It looks very tricky on TV, actually, but it looks like it provides a lot of excitement. I think one of the last three or four holes, as I recall, is a drivable par four. And is the last hole of par five with a lot of water running all over the place?
Yes. They have a creek running down the middle of or this one side of the fairway, and 17 is a drivable par four. The one of the things in this time of year in Texas, the winds are pretty strong, and so they makes the golf course play a lot harder with a 25 mile an hour wind.
Well, I'm sure they're going to have a hard time getting the field that they want. Nobody knows that better than Houston, but Houston did a lot to accommodate the players by trying to mow the collection areas and things like that,
yep.
Make the greens with speed of the Masters, and they ended up getting quite a good field the week before Augusta. But I think with this match play, and then you've got the PGA next month in May, and we've already had the Players, I think whoever's the week in front of Augusta from now on out is going to have a hard time getting the field that they deserve, in my opinion. I think any time you put on a tour event, I wish there was a way that they could force some of the players to play, but they're independent contractors, and that'll never happen. But I think with the new schedule, Charlie, I think whoever is in front of the Masters is probably going to have a hard time getting a great field.
Yes, sir. And not only, the Masters, but the other majors. Most of the good guys don't like to play. So we'll see. We'll see. So
we'll get our final break in here this morning on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We'll update you on what's going on still at the WGC match play. And we'll sneak in a little college hoops. Final Fours next week.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Well, Charlie, second hole here for Rory and Tiger. Par four. Both on the green. Looks like Tiger just...
He was just conceded his putt for par. So I believe that Royce has this putt for
to tie
par,
it up.
And he just drained it, Bill. He just drained about a good 15-footer downhill. So they're tied going into three.
Very good. I'm looking at the PGA website. The TV must be a little bit late because they've said they're all square after two for about 5 minutes here. So you might want to hold off on that CBS contract there, Charlie.
Bill's got the quicker results. We should just be going to Bill for these results next.
Yeah, but I'm not watching. I'm sitting in my car in my parking lot at Toscana because I got a lesson here in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Who you got, Bill?
I'm not watching the TV.
Who you got? Who you lesson? Anybody I know?
I got my orthopedic. My orthopedic man needs an emergency tune-up. So
excellent.
He always gives me emergency stuff, so I got to do the same for him.
Hey, Bill, it's a Final Four weekend, everybody's Sweet 16, the eight. How are you seeing the remainder of the games going?
Well, the most interesting team to me, which I didn't know anything about, was this Texas Tech. They've got a suffocating defense, like the Michigan coach said, they've been playing great defense for 6 months, and we only had 2 days to prepare for it. So he said it was kind of a mismatch. A team that has been playing great defense for 6 months and you get two days to prepare for it. So that's the team I'll be most interested in watching, Texas Tech.
Yeah, Chris Beard, the head coach there with the Red Raiders, is going to be one of the hot names we'll hear, and we're already hearing on the coaching market, and whether or not Texas Tech can hold on to him, because that's a program that was picked sixth in their own conference this year. Then they go and get a share of the Big 12 title, and now they're one win away from the Final Four, and it was just a dominant performance the other night over Michigan.
Suffocating.
Yeah.
It just shows you the guys picking didn't know what the hell they were doing.
How's your bracket looking?
My bracket is broke.
Uh-oh.
I stopped doing brackets. I could never, ever pick them. I mean, I'd lose anyways. But I got to give a shout-out to our Houston Cougars,
yes,
the local team that got to the Final 16, played a heck of a game last night against Kentucky, and I hope our coach stays around because the boys are really great players. I mean, they're hustlers. They got a atmosphere over there at the University of Cougar Stadium.
Yeah, Fertitta Center is an unbelievable building. It's the first year they opened it up, and they've created quite the atmosphere. Kelvin Sampson is going to be another hot name, and that's the big talk already, is going to be whether or not he stays or Arkansas is the one that's calling. So we'll see what happens.
How can you go to Arkansas?
SEC program versus a non-Power 5, and we'll see how money talks, so we'll see what happens.
That's
between
a
the
shame.
Two. But I will say this. Who was in your Final Four, Bill? Who did you have in the Final Four for you?
You know, I actually thought North Carolina was going to win it all, so that's how much I know about it, so they're out.
Well, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot in these things.
Yeah, it is a crapshoot, and that's good, though. It's kind of like this match play, although the better teams always in the 1 and 2, 3 seeds seem to dominate who gets to the Final Four. I think Auburn is a 5th seed. They're the highest seeded team in the Elite Eight. So the basketball, I think, by and large, is a heck of a lot more predictable than trying to figure out the top 64 golfers in the world. Stroke average-wise, they're probably within one stroke of each other. And that's simply not the case in basketball.
Absolutely. Well, enjoy the rest of the hoops this weekend.
Thanks,
and certainly
guys.
Enjoy
Thanks,
Rory and Tiger. We'll talk to you later, Bill.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, guys. Fun show. Next week, we'll talk about what occurred this weekend. We'll talk a little Valero Texas Open. And it'll be Final Four weekend as well.
Final Four.